Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in the studio, the first guest is Reese DeMille. He's the manager of municipal services for Republic Services, and he's here. He comes in periodically to give us an update on all things solid waste and waste management and recycling, of course. And we mentioned in the intro, and we had talked about this. First of all, thanks for joining us, Reese.
Thanks for having me.
We mentioned in the intro, you know, China's recent announcement, or back in the beginning of the year, their, what is it, the national sword that they've implemented?
The green sword, the green wall.
It started with the green wall, and then it went to the green sword was the kind of the next, or the national sword was kind of the next phase.
Yes. Very, very ominous sounding image of basically what they say is like, well, we're not going to take recyclables in the forms of as many as we used to, in the forms of plastic and cardboard, paper, metals, etc. We've got enough. And actually, they were taking a lot in from around the world that had a lot of contamination. People were turning it into their garbage disposal, sending it to China.
Yeah, I said green wall. It was actually green fence. That's how it started, was the green fence. And that was initially, we're not going to be your dumping ground. So we're going to limit the amount of contamination that comes in with the recycling containers that come into our country. And then it went from there to, do we need all of this recycling anyway? And can we produce the recycling that we need here in our own country? And then, you know, the foreign trade policies of our country is having a little bit of impact on that as well. But we're still trying to get things over there, but they're not taking, you know, they're taking just so much less than they ever did.
And plastics in particular.
Plastics. Absolutely. You know, plastics one and two have a value. Recycling is still, it's still a great process and what we should be doing. But the fact that 3 through 7s just don't have a value right now.
And what's an example of 3 through 7? Mm-hmm.
So that would be like a five gallon water jug. You know, one of those big water jugs you have in your office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's different than the little hand, you know, water bottles that we all use. So you would think that's a big piece of plastic. That would be recyclable. That is a not recyclable. That goes in the 3 through 7 bin.
Okay.
So some of those maybe more durable plastics.
Yeah, some of the heavier plastics, and you know, anybody can Google what those numbers mean. But you know, ones and twos are fairly easy. It's the things that we use every day. It's the ones would be your water bottles. It would be your 2 liter soda bottles. And then other plastics that have a good value are like shampoo bottles, milk jugs for sure,
mm-hmm.
milk jugs as well.
Okay. So, but like you say, recycling centers like Recycle Utah are still accepting plastics. Mm-hmm. They're just having trouble finding a market, and they get baled and then they get stored until there's a market to be found either somewhere within the U.S. or perhaps some other countries are trying to develop processing facilities?
Yes. You know, we're still working with other countries outside of China, so that's not the only place that takes the product. And again, here locally, we are the hauler of the recycler, so we're not the ones that are trying to sell it. Now, we do have recycling centers all throughout the country, Republic Services does, so we are trying to sell it at those, just not here locally. But these items are Southeast Asia, really working hard there to get them to purchase these products. But some of them are saying, we're going to develop plants, but it's going to take, you know, 18 months to 2 years to get a plant up and running. Well, what are we doing with those? And so there's a lot of places that have bales that are just sitting there. They're not landfilling them. They're sitting there trying to mm-hmm. find a buyer.
I was just going to ask, what is the picture on the back end here at these recycling centers if they don't have a market or a place to even get rid of these products?
Mountains of bales of recycling. You know, recycling is baled into 1 or 2 ton bales typically. And, you know, I've seen down south in Utah, I've seen bales up to, you know, 300-400 bales behind a building waiting to be sold.
Wow. 300-400 bales of plastic.
All sorts of product.
Fortunately, plastic can sit outside and kind of take the weather, the sun and the rain. But like you say, if it's cardboard, that's problematic.
It's cardboard, it's going to get rained on, and that's going to be a contaminated bale.
But that's also in play. Cardboard is also experiencing problems, challenges.
Much easier to get rid of cardboard, clean cardboard. Okay. Obviously.
All right. So that's what's happening. Is there any company in the U.S. that's trying to develop plastic recycling operations? Is anybody picking up the ball here in the U.S.?
Now, there are some recycling plants or some manufacturers that are purchasing material east of the Mississippi. We don't have many west of the Mississippi at all. Most of that is back east.
I do have to wonder, though, if China's new rules will make us all reflect a little bit more about what we can do semi-locally or at least within our own country without importing and exporting as many of these products.
Mm. You know, that discussion has come up many, many times, and it comes down to if we build a plant here in the U.S. and we're going to manufacture goods, and we try to buy local, try to buy U.S. goods if we certainly can, but then we have to pay for that as well. And so there's a certain increased cost in recycling when we're going to do it here in the States.
Right.
And again, probably worth looking at and considering why it's so cheap elsewhere.
Exactly. Why it's been such a deal over the years and years, because China was taking this, all this material, and they had the labor to hand sort this material, and they had, perhaps less regulatory framework on the environmental end. So they were able to process these things and turn our plastic bottles back into plastic chairs or fleece coats or whatever. China makes everything. And they could do it cheaply, less than we could do it here. So it could travel halfway around the world, plastic bottle get turned into a plastic spatula, come back halfway around the world, and it was still cheaper than it could have been done here. Right. And that's not the case anymore. That's not going to. China is saying, well, we're not. We got enough. I guess their economy is growing such that they have enough recyclables on their own.
For now, that's what it looks like. We need to be patient with this. We don't know what this is going to look like in the end. And I think it's also important to note that the recycling materials that are going to China, they are recycling is still happening.
Yeah.
It's just for a much greater cost. We were pretty spoiled before.
Yes.
So recycling centers were making, good money. Those days are past. That doesn't mean that recycling is dead and it shouldn't happen. It's
correct.
Just there is a significant cost to recycling where there wasn't in the past.
All right. Which drives home the point that, say, whenever you go to Recycle Utah and drop off your plastics, donate, give a couple dollars to help supplement the cost that they incur in having to move those plastics downstream. It's okay. So that's what's happening with respect to China and recyclables. And you say it's a situation that's in flux, right?
It could change anytime. And it's worldwide. This isn't a Park City, Utah, or even a United States issue. This is a worldwide issue. And it is in flux. We don't know how this is going to end. We as a company just say we need to be patient and flexible and be able to roll with what happens. It would be nice to know exactly what's supposed to go into your single stream bin every day, but those things may change. Yeah, I know that on the coast, Oregon area, they're saying we're only taking ones and twos. In certain areas, we're taking plastics ones and twos and cardboard and aluminum, and that's it.
Wow.
And everything else we're not going to accept. And so people have had to be
so
flexible with that.
We as consumers can do our part in many ways by purchasing less plastic on the front end. I do with respect to water. Instead of going out and buying bottles of water or plastic, I take one plastic gallon jug and I refill that down at the supermarket. They have great water down there. And so that's my plastic jug that I reuse, right? It's great.
I don't know, Chris.
Why?
I think you should be drinking your tap water. Shouldn't you have a filter in your house? Or just drink the tap water?
Yes, that's a good point.
Because now you're, this is this
so I should just
water that's being transported around. You're refilling with that. You're using your plastic jug. You're driving to
to get a cow. Okay. From this point forward, I will refill. Thank you very much. You can go now, Mel.
Thank you for your contributions this morning, Chris.
Yes, I will do even better. So there's an example. I will do better. You know, we can all do better in that sense. Okay. So we're speaking with Rhys DeMille. He's manager of municipal services for public services. And let's turn our attention to a couple other items. Landfill, springtime. The waste stream changes. It's seasonal. I'm sure you see different forms and types of waste, volumes of waste. And so I assume for spring, you're probably getting a lot of, let's say, organic matter in the form of lawn, landscaping material, lawn clippings, et cetera.
Yes.
Does that present a problem? Yeah,
it presents a little bit of it's certainly not a problem. It's just a change in the way we need to do things. So typically our heavy areas in Park City are the hotels and that in the winter. When they're full, and now in the summer it's more residential with grass clippings and other things. And we do want to make sure that people understand and remember that don't put sod and dirt and those type of things in your cans. First of all, the trucks can't lift, you know, they can only lift a certain amount, and we don't want to break the arms off of those things. But keep that out of the bins, the garbage bins, and then lawn clippings.
But lawn clippings can go in the can?
It can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. And you Leads. Talked about how some landfills, quite a few landfills around the country, have systems in place that collect methane gas and then burn that methane gas to produce energy. And one nice source of methane gas is lawn clippings.
Yeah. We need organic material. We need that to help decompose and to help the process in the landfills to make methane. And before a landfill is able to get enough gas to be able to produce it into energy, they flare it until that landfill is producing enough, and then they'll capture it and be able to use it. But grass clippings and leaves are very good in the landfills for that reason.
Although we have to make the note that our landfill here in Summit County doesn't collect, unfortunately.
That's right. So it's a little different situation.
Maybe next time around we'll have that
in the
capability.
New landfill. That's a good point. Now I think the new landfill will have a requirement for a gas collection system.
But Chris and I both thought that this was super interesting because, you know, you always hear try to keep those things out of the landfill if you can. And obviously you have your own options. You can compost it in your yard or whatever. But if you are having your trash delivered to one of these landfills outside of Summit County, if you're listening from outside of Summit County, that's a good thing to know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, it's doing damage to the landfill, but we need that. Now, again, I'm not an engineer or a scientist, so I don't know what the point of diminishing return is.
Right.
And the whole landfill is grass clippings probably wouldn't work, but a certain number of that we certainly need.
Right. So that's a great option. Again, in Summit County, we don't have a formal methane gas or gas collection system. The future landfills will. The future cells will.
They will. It's part of the plan.
Yeah, it's part of the plan.
Okay.
They'll have to have a gas collection system. It might only be enough to flare it off.
Yeah.
So when you're burning methane, you're flaring off. You're turning methane into carbon dioxide, which, you know, as greenhouse gases go, that's the lesser of two evils in a sense. Rather than just emitting methane into the atmosphere in general. But many large landfills, and I'm sure there are some large ones in Utah, have formal gas collection systems.
Absolutely. We have one that we manage down in St. George, and we have one out in Tooele that we have as well, and in Garbin County, and they have these gasification systems.
So drive your grass clippings
grass down
there.
Grass clippings out to Tooele?
No. Okay. All right. So that's we got to wrap up. Any other items going on?
No, I think, you know, recycling is obviously the big issue, Chris. I mean, I think it's
and awareness
on everybody's mind
associated with it.
I think people just try to keep it simple, and we're going to try to keep the Summit County website up with the newest and latest information. You know, if they go to Republic Services website, it's going to give them information from all over the country because we're all over the country. So they may say, well, your website says we can do this. We're going to try to work with Crescelle with the county and make sure that information is put on the county's website and as updated as possible there. That'd probably be the best.
That's the best place to start. Yeah. Summit County website with respect to recycle, what they do or don't recycle.
Correct.
What can be picked up. Okay. And, of course, you also mentioned awareness. You know, water conservation is important, too.
Yeah, I think anytime we talk about recycling, you know, everybody thinks about it in what can I put into the bin, but there's other ways that we can conserve as well.
Yeah, and water is a big one.
Water's a
big
one.
Here in this county. It's precious. And we're in the middle of we're well below our precipitation rates, right? And our snow melt. So, hey, it's great when you're recycling all your paper and cardboard, but if you're running your sprinklers every day to keep your Kentucky bluegrass healthy.
Raining outside.
thank you very much. Exactly. That's not being very aware. Your total awareness is lacking. So remember, water is something that falls under the rubric of conservation.
Can I just leave recycling on this note?
Yes.
Chris, when in doubt with regards to recycling, when in doubt, throw it out.
Oh, real quick. Somebody asked me if paper towels are recyclable.
Throw them in the garbage.
Okay.
Unless you got a truckload of them. But
unused or something, get rid of.
Throw them in the garbage. They're
otherwise
going to be contaminated
when you use
with paper
a towel,
water, so.
Throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mixed paper right now, just all mixed paper, junk mail and all that. No value for that right now.
What? Mixed paper. So all the stuff I get in my mailbox.
Right now, I mean, you can put it in your recycling. They're going to bale it.
Yeah.
And try to find a buyer for it, but very, very little value for that right now. So mixed paper, probably throw it in your garbage.
But white paper, general white paper?
Throw it in the garbage if it's just mixed paper. Now, if you have a whole bundle of that, a whole truckload of that, they could probably sell that. But we're being told by the materials recovery facilities that mixed paper right now is very low value.
Wow. Newspaper?
Again, if it's all newspaper and it's only newspaper.
I'm just trying to understand what
nobody's going to have an entire bale in their home. So if you have a bag, a paper bag that you put all your paper in and you throw that in with your recycling.
Of course, we don't put bags in the recycling, remember?
Paper bag.
Oh, paper bag. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So is that going to be recycled?
Again, the recycling plants are telling us mixed paper right now, there's very, very little value.
Wow.
There's little value, but then it does keep it out of the landfill.
Correct,
right.
And they'll try to sell it.
And they'll try to sell it and store it. Yeah,
as long as they can.
So
that's what I'm wondering is like, you know, I guess we want to be careful about the advice that we're giving people, whether to toss it or to recycle it.
Right now, the recycling centers are telling us that mixed paper, to throw it away.
Wow.
To landfill it.
Oof. All right.
Sorry for the curveball. We have to bring this one back for another one.
That's right.
We're going to have to follow that one closely.
Okay.
All right. We're going to have to leave it on that, too. Rhys DeMille, he's the manager of municipal services with Republic Services. And again, information and knowledge about the county's recycling practices, go to the Summit County's website to get that information. Rhys, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me.